first question that we received here that we thought needed some discussion was the identity of the rider on the white horse. Some people think it's Antichrist, maybe because of going forth conquering and to conquer. The rider in chapter 6 only has one crown. The rider in chapter 19 has many crowns. Now, when we talk about the riders of the apocalypse, it's always good to go to the book of Revelation. And just to recap, the book of Revelation is written in a chiastic structure. Mm-hmm. And then there are chiasms within chiasms and epinados within chiasms. It's a fascinating book.
Just for clarity, maybe some viewers don't know what a chiasm is.
A chiasm is a particular structure that is written in reverse, one way, a reverse way, so that you get the climax in the middle. That's one of the ways in which chiasm is written, or you have an A, B, B, A repetition, so that the center is a double portion. That's why you can't cut out anything out of the Bible. So if he says, for example, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, when he repeats that, it's because there's a chiastic structure. If you take out the repetition, you destroy the chiasm.
Yes.
So modern translations believe that they need brevity of words and destroy chiasms in that way. But God's word is full of chiasms.
Yes.
Now, the book of Revelation is written, as I said, in a chiasm. And the first half of the book, leading to the climax in the middle, is the historic arm. Mm-hmm. And the second one is the eschatological arm. In other words, things pertaining to the end. And that is why it often appears that the second portion of the book of Revelation appears to be in reverse order. Mm-hmm. If you go to the devil that surrounds the city, the resurrection takes place after he surrounded the city, because it's in reverse order, because the chiasm requires it. Yeah. Otherwise, you get confused in this book. So it's firstly important to realize that the riders of the apocalypse, which are in chapter 6, they are in the historic arm.
Yeah.
So they have a historic progression through time. And therefore, it cannot be the Antichrist that sits on this white horse, because that would destroy the historic continuous progress from the beginnings of the gospel herald to the end. He comes, according to modern theology, at the end. Mm-hmm. But according to biblical theology, he comes somewhere in the middle, right?
Yes.
And so we have to deal with that. Now it says in chapter 6, in verse 2, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now a horse in the Bible is a symbol of warfare. So this is the gospel going into the world, and it is a form of war. It is a form of war against the forces of evil.
Yes.
Now, the riders that are sitting on these horses symbolize the message. So they're not literal people. If they were literal people, then you'd run into a problem, because one of them is called death. Yes. If you go to verse 7, "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see,' and looked, and there was a pale horse," remember? "And his name that sat on him was Death." Now, is Death a real person, or is it a consequence? It is something that happens. So you cannot say that it is the Antichrist. So the horse is white, and the color white symbolizes righteousness.
Yes.
So this is the first message that goes out. It's the message of the unadulterated pure gospel as Christ delivered it to his disciples. And they have a bow, also a symbol of war. And it's interesting that God in the Old Testament is often depicted with a bow in his hand and arrows in his quiver. So the white horse symbolizes the unadulterated gospel going into the world like a weapon of war to destroy evil or to conquer evil. And the messenger that sits on it is the message that brings the message of Jesus Christ, referring to the one with the bow. So it's salvation in Christ, and it's a pure, unadulterated gospel. If you go to the second seal, then there was another horse, and that was red. And power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. So what happened immediately after the gospel went out in its purity? As soon as you start preaching the gospel, there's something called enmity and anger, because that is the way of Cain.
Yeah.
If Abel does something that is righteous, Cain will kill him.
Mm.
So this is exactly what happened. You had the time of persecution. Red is the color of blood. Red is the color of sacrifice, self-sacrificing, heralding of the gospel. So it was a red horse. The gospel said still went forth, but it was bathed in blood.
Mm.
But the blood was a seed for more people to accept the truth. And then eventually comes the black horse. Well, black is pretty dark, isn't
yes.
it? It's sort of like the Dark Ages, where the balances, a judgment, is in the play. So this symbolizes the Dark Ages, when the gospel was virtually destroyed. And then it got worse. Then there was death. So you had a contrast from going from a pure white gospel to a gospel of death. What is a gospel of death? One that doesn't lead to salvation. It leads to permanent death. It leads to the second death. That's why it was called, the writer was called Death. And Hades, which means the grave, was the consequence, eternal death, eternal obliteration. They had replaced the gospel of salvation in Christ with a gospel of form and tradition and relics and everything but the Creator. So they start worshiping the created things and things of their own devising, and they develop entirely new gospel. So that rider represented purity of the first message that went out.
Thank you.
Oh, there's still a last portion here. The rider in chapter 6 only has one crown, and the rider in chapter 19 has many crowns. Mm. Now, who has many crowns? We even have a hymn that goes, "Crown him with many crowns." Well, I can't sing, but anyway.
Well, that was beautiful.
So it symbolizes Christ.
Christ.
Yes.